friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The European club football spotlight is shining this Tuesday evening on Italy and England, where decisive round of 16 matches will be played in the UEFA Champions League. In Rome, the Italian club Roma will try to rally from a 2-1 first leg deficit against the Ukrainian side Shakhtar Donetsk. And at Old Trafford, Manchester United will host the Spanish club Sevilla. The teams played to a scoreless draw in the first leg February 21st in Spain. Manchester City, the runaway leader in the English Premier League this season, already is through to the quarterfinals. And so is another Premier League club, Liverpool, as well as the Italian team Juventus and defending champion Real Madrid. The Spanish powerhouse bidding for a record-extending 13th European title. The draw for the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals will be held on Friday after the final two round of 16 matches are held on Wednesday. Let's take a quick look at those matches. Barcelona will host Chelsea. The teams drew 1-1 last month at Stamford Bridge in London. And five-time European champion Bayern Munich of Germany almost surely will go through to the quarterfinals after trouncing the Turkish club Besiktas 5-0 in the first leg in Munich. The teams will play Wednesday in Istanbul. I mentioned Man City being the runaway leader in the English Premier League. Well, Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo of Real Madrid is the runaway leader in terms of UEFA Champions League goal scorers. Ronaldo has 12 goals in the competition. Harry Kane of Tottenham Hotspur, Roberto Firmino of Liverpool, and Edinson Cavani of Paris Saint-Germain are next with 7 goals each. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. 2015 African Footballer of the Year, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Gabon and Arsenal, says his goal against Watford Sunday has boosted his confidence after a difficult start to life in the Premier League. And let me issue this Sunny Side of Sports correction. During Monday's show, I said Aubameyang scored Arsenal's third goal in the 77th minute in the team's 3-0 victory over Watford. Well, the Gabonese star actually scored Arsenal's second goal, and it came in the 59th minute. Meanwhile, at the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page, the address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You can see an exciting photo of Aubameyang celebrating his goal with a flip. The photo was taken by Reuters photographer Tony O'Brien. Aubameyang signed with Arsenal at the end of January. He came to England from Germany, where he led the Bundesliga in scoring during the 2016-2017 season, tallying 31 goals for Dortmund. Aubameyang now has 3 goals and 5 Premier League matches for Arsenal. And despite concerns that he might get injured, Aubameyang says he'll continue to do those acrobatic flips after he scores goals, saying that's been his celebration since he was young. The head coach of Tunisia's national football team, Nabil Maloul, has named a 28-man team for this month's friendly World Cup warm-up matches against Iran and Costa Rica. The Tunisians will host Iran March 23rd and then play Costa Rica 4 days later in France. And speaking of France, Coach Maloul selected four players who were born in France, including Leicester City defender Johan Benalouane. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia will kick off their World Cup campaign June 18th when they play England in Volgograd, Russia. The Tunisians will then take on Belgium June 23rd in Moscow, Russia, and they'll wrap up first-round group play June 28th when they play Panama in Saransk, Russia. This will be the fifth World Cup appearance for the Carthage Eagles and their first since 2006. The Tunisians have never advanced past the group stage in their previous World Cups. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Cairo-based football club Al Ahly, which clinched its 40th Egyptian League title on Monday. Al Ahly was confirmed as the champion once again after a scoreless draw between Al Masry and Entag El Harbi gave them an unbeatable lead in the standings. Al Ahly has been described as the most successful club in African football history. Taking a look at the Al Ahly trophy case in international competitions, the proud Egyptian club has won a record 8 CAF Champions League titles, a CAF Confederation Cup trophy, and a record 6 CAF Super Cup championships. Turning to tennis, Venus Williams had the upper hand on her younger sister, Serena, in the latest renewal of their sibling rivalry at the BNP Paribas Open in California. Joining us once again with more details is my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Yes, Venus Williams defeated her sister Monday night in straight sets, 6-3, 6-4. After the match, Venus had nothing but praise for Serena and said she's sure it was a treat for everyone to see them play against each other so early in her comeback. Venus also talked about what it takes to win against such a strong opponent.
There's a lot of focus that goes into every match, especially against an opponent with a record like her and a talent level of her. So really it's about just focusing on the tennis.
Venus won on her second match point when Serena's ground stroke sailed long, one of Serena's 41 unforced errors, which shows she still has more rust to shake off. After the match, Serena was asked if the loss was tougher to take because of her time away from the game.
It's different. I haven't played in over a year. It's definitely not less disappointing. I wish it were, but it's not. But then again, I wish it wasn't, then I wouldn't be who I am. So, I just have a long way to go, and I'm looking forward to the journey.
But she says the loss is a stepping stone towards improving her game.
I learn everything I need to work on, and the improvements I'm going to make going into Miami. So I know that there's a plethora of things that I want to improve on, but I'm going to start with, you know, the first few and rank them as, maybe I'll write them all down and rank and see which ones are the most important and start with that.
This Williams sisters fan reacted to seeing the sisters play each other again and expressed her admiration on Twitter, writing, "Little girls are not the only ones that look up to these ladies. Little boys consider them role models as well. My little brother loves the Williams sisters." Venus Williams now has 12 wins overall against her sister and will play again Tuesday night against Anastasia Sevastova of Latvia. By the way, at 37 years old, Venus is the oldest woman in the singles draw on the women's side. And we can't talk about older players without talking about Roger Federer, who is playing in the same tournament. Monday night, it took Federer less than 1 hour to claim victory over Filip Krajinovic of Serbia, winning in straight sets 6-2, 6-1. A Twitter fan had this reaction: All other tennis players try to take control of their side of the court. But Roger Federer takes control of the entire court, both sides. Well, Federer has his own theory about how he won the match.
I was really able to mix up my game nicely, make it difficult for him there, and then at the same time have fun with my game, play variation, but for the most part try to stay on the offensive as well. So I think it was a good match. I still think he can play much better than he did today, but maybe it was because it was the first time he ever played against me. Who knows why his level wasn't able to go higher than today.
And he said he felt comfortable in his game.
You know, at least I got after four games, you sort of get an idea of what to expect, especially if you haven't played somebody before. But I thought I was much more calm today in the match. You know, obviously it was more straightforward. It was a right-hander, someone who plays more on the flatter side, not, you know, lefty, standing way back.
And Federer said he's taking it one game at a time.
You can't right away think like, oh, who would I be playing in the semis or in the finals? I think that would be a major mistake, you know, by myself. So there's still plenty of good enough players around me to cause an upset. So I'm on a good run right now, and I try to maintain that. And you only maintain that if you respect every opponent.
Well, Roger Federer certainly has the respect of his fans, summed up with this tweet. Everything you have done over the course of 20 years has been an amazing accomplishment. I'm so proud to be a fan. I was fortunate to see you play at the U.S. Open one time. Hopefully, I can make it back to see your brilliance in action once more. The defending champion has reached the last 16 of the BNP Paribas Open. Next, he will play Jeremy Chardy of France. Federer is going for a record 6th Indian Wells title. And while he is on his way to reaching that one, I have to mention a milestone he has reached. 12 million Twitter followers. Can you imagine? Well, as one follower says, congratulations to 12 million fans. You really deserve it. More social media goodness coming soon. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. I like that. Social media goodness. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
It's an exciting time for U.S. college basketball fans. They're looking forward to the NCAA Division I Men's Championship Tournament, which tips off later Tuesday night. And joining us once again on the show to talk about this tournament is Dan Friedel. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Sonny. Nice to be here again, talking about one level down from what we usually talk about, being the NBA. This time we've got teenagers in the mix who are college students most of the time, and they really take the main stage in basketball in the United States for about 3 weeks in March leading up to the national championship game in early April.
This year's championship game will be played on April 2nd at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas. Before we look ahead to this year's tournament, Dan, how about a look back for our Voice of America listeners about last year's champion?
Last year, if people remember, University of North Carolina played in the championship game for the second year in a row, and it was an extremely close game. Some say maybe not the most well-played game, as the Tar Heels went up against Gonzaga from Washington State in a kind of tough physical matchup with a lot of missed shots. But the University of North Carolina wound up winning a national championship to go along with the number that they already have going back to their big years in the 1970s and 80s and 1990s with the legendary coach Dean Smith.
Dan, one of my colleagues is Shaka Sali. He sits very close to me in the office. Shaka is a proud graduate of the University of California at Los Angeles, better known as UCLA, and you were talking about Dean Smith being a legendary coach. John Wooden, the late, great John Wooden, also legendary status. Talk about UCLA and the teams with the proudest pedigree.
Well, Well, you know, Shaka's going to be able to get a jump on the NCAA tournament this year because the Bruins are one of the teams that will be playing in this mini tournament. It's a series of play-in games over the next couple of days. They're playing St. Bonaventure for a chance to get into the big field of 64 teams that we'll be watching through the remaining part of March. Also, my alma mater, the Syracuse University Orange, are playing Arizona State. We know Arizona State because of James Harden's connection to that school, so that should be an interesting matchup as well. Syracuse has had a lot of success in the NCAA tournament with its longtime coach Jim Boeheim, but the Orange have struggled a little bit in the last couple years after making a good run a couple of years back further than that. Of course, the tournament field includes schools like North Carolina and Kentucky. There's also Villanova, West Virginia, Kansas, some of the top teams, University of Florida. Michigan State and Duke are both in the mix as well, as usual. So it should be a good tournament with a chance for some upsets early on. And that's, I think, why people really enjoy watching, because a lot of these games come down to the wire. And some of these schools that people don't know too much about, like Rhode Island and Davidson, and the winner of some of these play-in games sometimes take down one of the big teams. So that's one of the reasons it's called March Madness.
Dan, you were talking about the defending national champion Tar Heels of North Carolina. They'll begin play against Lipscomb University. I'm going to put you on the spot, Dan. Do you know where Lipscomb is based?
I think it's in Tennessee near Nashville.
You are correct. You are correct. Because I sure didn't know where that was. I had to look it up.
That's one of the fun things, too, about this tournament is that it really does shine a spotlight on some of the schools that don't get a lot of attention during the year. Schools from remote parts of the country, schools that just don't get a lot of national TV exposure. So that's one of the reasons that people have a lot of fun with this tournament. But I wanted to give you a quick rundown of a couple of the favorites. Not too far away from the Voice of America studios in Charlottesville, Virginia, the number one overall seed of the tournament is the University of Virginia, whose coach shares the name with a famous singer that our audience might have heard of, and that's Tony Bennett.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
The Cavaliers of University of Virginia are one of the best defensive teams in the country. Their offense isn't that exciting, but they hold their opponents to something like 50 points a game on average. And Villanova, just up the road in Philadelphia, is one of the number one seeds in their section of the tournament. If you remember, just 2 years ago, Villanova won the national championship, beating the University of North Carolina on a last-second shot. University of Kansas is one of the other number one seeds, and perhaps they'll have a chance to go for a title since they won in 1988 and again in 2008, and now we are in 2018, so Kansas might have a chance. And the other number one seed is the Xavier Musketeers. Xavier is a small school in southern Ohio that has a strong basketball tradition.
Dan, while this tournament features American universities and schools, it is international in flavor. International players do participate in the competition. Can you maybe spotlight a few of the African players who you'll be watching during the tournament?
I think people will have a chance to get a look at University of Texas freshman Mohamed Bamba. He grew up in New York City in Harlem and went to high school at a private school in Connecticut before going to the University of Texas. Now, the Longhorns may be known in American sports history primarily for their big success on the American football field, but of course, Kevin Durant is probably their number one basketball player in the school's history, and of course, we know so well how great of an NBA player Durant has turned into. The Longhorns are playing the University of Nevada in the first round of the tournament, and they'll probably wind up, if they win, playing the number two seeded University of Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, led for many years by Bob Huggins, who is now at the University of West Virginia. I understand the Mountaineers of West Virginia have an African player you'll be watching.
Yeah, that's right. One of the teams that always seems to be successful in the tournament is a team that is coached by Huggins. You know, he's been a controversial coach in some places, but he always manages to do well in the tournament. The Mountaineers, actually their university not too far from Washington, D.C., only about a three-hour drive. The Mountaineers are a number five seed in the tournament, and one of their key players is Sagaba Konate, and he's from Bamako, Mali. He is just over 2 meters tall. He's an athletic forward. He's one of four basketball-playing brothers who left Africa to come live near Pittsburgh and live with one of their coaches who became their guardian. Two of his brothers are playing at a university, a small university near Pittsburgh. One of his brothers played basketball at Boston University. And Sagaba is probably the strongest of those four brothers. He averages about 10 points a game and 8 rebounds for the Mountaineers. He's in his second year. And if they wind up getting past their first-round game and into the Sweet 16, you'll probably be hearing a lot more about him. I'm looking forward to seeing him play on the national scene in this year's tournament. The Mountaineers could do some damage. They seem to play a brand of basketball that works really well in the tournament, and Huggins is certainly one of these master tacticians who's seen just about everything in college basketball.
Thanks, Dan. That's sports reporter Dan Friedel. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association news, the Portland Trail Blazers beat the visiting Miami Heat Monday night 115-99 to extend the league's longest current winning streak to 10 games. All-star guard Damian Lillard had 32 points and 10 assists for the Blazers, while Bosnian big man Yusuf Nurkic added 27 points and 16 rebounds for Portland. After the game, Miami's head coach Eric Spoelstra said he doesn't know if there's a player in the NBA right now playing at a higher level than Lillard. In Spoelstra's words, Damian Lillard deserves to be in the conversation for this season's NBA Most Valuable Player Award. Another player who surely will be in that MVP conversation is James Harden of the Houston Rockets. Harden scored 16 of his 28 points in the third quarter, and the Rockets exploded past the San Antonio Spurs 109-93 in Houston. The Rockets have won 19 of their past 20 games, and Harden continues to play a key role in their success. He's leading the NBA in scoring right now at 31 points per game. Elsewhere, Russell Westbrook, the NBA's reigning most valuable player, scored 17 points and notched his 20th triple-double of the season to help the Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Sacramento Kings 106-101. Westbrook also had 10 rebounds and 11 assists as he recorded the 99th triple-double of his career. And this friendly basketball reminder for our Voice of America listeners, a triple-double is recording double figures in three different statistical categories. Usually it's scoring, rebounding, and assists. Finally, while the Portland Trail Blazers are blazing new ground right now with their 10-game winning streak, the Memphis Grizzlies are going in the opposite direction. They lost to the Milwaukee Bucks Monday night, 121-103. It was the 18th consecutive loss for the Grizzlies. And that wraps up the March 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Linus Rimkus. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
While the vast majority of the nearly 100,000 men and women who serve as UN peacekeepers do so with honor and integrity, acts of misconduct still occur, including incidents of sexual exploitation and abuse against the very people peacekeepers are deployed to protect. The troop contributing country is ultimately responsible for investigating, documenting, and punishing instances of misconduct. But the deployed unit's leadership often does not have the knowledge or capacity to effectively investigate infractions of military or criminal law. Only after a credible investigation is concluded can appropriate disciplinary or criminal actions be taken against those responsible for abuses. That is why the United States and the United Nations have jointly offered the first ever training course for national investigation officers. This course is a model of interagency and international cooperation. It was sponsored through the Global Peace Operations Initiative, managed by the U.S. State Department's Bureau of Political Military Affairs, and jointly developed and executed by the U.S. Department of Defense and the United Nations Office of Internal Oversight Services. 26 officers from 11 African partner countries participated in the training, which aimed to hone the effectiveness of conduct and discipline investigations in UN peacekeeping. The objective was to improve the officers' ability to investigate allegations of sexual exploitation and abuse by deepening their understanding of UN-mandated standards of conduct and discipline, and training them in basic investigative skills and evidence collection techniques. The course will be offered 3 more times this year, again in Africa, and 1 each in Latin America and the Asia-Pacific region. Training courses like the National Investigation Officer course demonstrate that the United States is committed to supporting the UN's zero-tolerance policy against sexual exploitation and abuse.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
I'm Lina Ormudu, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we will look at cold sores, why they appear, and what can be done to minimize the painful symptoms and stigma that surrounds them. Our guest, a pharmacist, Dr. Georgia Pasedis. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.